today our topic is doors. I didn't know what else to add to it, so that I just left it like that. Praise God. So we're talking about doors, and as I stated, we're going to look at some of the people. Okay, I'm going to show you through the Word of God today that doors represent not just opportunities, but doors also represent people. So through this teaching, the Holy Spirit is going to allow you to begin to examine some relationships, examine some partnerships, just begin to examine some things in your life as it pertains to these doors, okay? So let's go ahead and get started. Our opening scripture is coming out of the first book of Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 9th verse. And let's see, let me get a King James version for you. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." I want to read a better translation than that. Let me see. The NIV says, "A great door for effective work has opened for me, and there are many who oppose me." And, of course, we know that this is Apostle Paul speaking. And so as we sort of look at that particular verse a little bit more closely, we'll find out that even though these doors open, even though God grants us these opportunities and privileges and gives us access, that we also have to consider the fact that there's adversity that comes along with that. Those of us that have received prophetic words, or those of us who give prophetic words about a new season, a new shifting, another level, things of that nature, any word that comes to you that has a progressive nature, okay, God is getting ready to do this, or God is about to do this, or whatever it is that the Lord is revealing that's coming down the line toward us, it's fine to rejoice and to be ecstatic and happy about it, but at the same time, we also want to be aware that along with that open door comes adversity, comes strife, comes warfare, okay? So we're going to look at some of that today. I want to break down that verse for you. If we would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in the original text, if we go back to the Greek, we find here that there were three words, I believe, or four definitions that we want to look at and just get a better understanding of what the man of God was speaking. The word door in the Greek is thura. Spelled T-H-U-R-A, and it means a door, entrance, opportunity, opening, a way, or a passage. So, and we know that, right? A door is opening that gives you access to go to another place. So that's what that literally means in the Greek, is door, entrance, opportunity, opening, way, or passage. Now, when he said, "There are many who oppose me," the Greek word for that is antikamai, and it means to be set against, to oppose, and to withstand. So even as God has allowed us this passage, okay, some of us may be in some tight places, God has given us passage, God has given us access, God has given us opportunity, but even as we have received this passage, this opportunity, this access, we also need to be aware of the opposition, because there will be things, there will be even people, okay, who will be set against God moving you into that greater thing, God progressing you and God promoting you, because doors also represent promotion. The other word, too, that I wanted to look at is, he said, let me get back to this. Give me just a minute. Y'all see my computer, I've got notes everywhere. All right, so now the word effective or effectual, in the Greek it means energeis. And that word means living, okay? So this is not just a door. This is a living door. In other words, this door can grow. But, anything living, it can change, okay? It has a physiological aspect to it. So it can change. It can grow. When God opens doors, doors open doors. So when the Lord is moving you forward, then even as you move forward, know that there's even more, there's even greater that's coming even along ahead of that, okay? So this is a living door. This is something that breathes. This is something that expands. This is something that grows. You know what I'm saying? This is not just, oh, God opened a door. No, God has opened a door to open doors. Okay, so and even Jesus talked about this too when he was talking about the parable of the talents And so he gave this man one talent. What did the guy do? Bury the talent, right? And so he gave one guy five talents. What did the guy do? He multiplied it. So even as he was faithful, and one of my favorite scriptures is, as we're faithful over the little things, God makes us ruler over many. So even as this man was faithful over the five, what did that do? It qualified him, or it postured him to be responsible for that much more. God saw within this man was the capability to handle even more. And so I tell a lot of my sons and daughters at True Love, I said, the reward for good work is more work. Amen. God is always looking for laborers. Praise the Lord. So, and that's for those of you that, you know, feel overwhelmed sometimes. God is, you know, always pulling on you to do something. And it's because God can trust you. You have to understand that we are in an hour in the kingdom where there are not many trustworthy folk. Okay, I don't want to say saints, but there are not many trustworthy folk. I mean, a lot of folk that's, you know, got the look. You know what I'm saying? But the walk is not in agreement with that look. And so there are not that many trustworthy saints that the Lord, or trustworthy folk, let me say, that that God can trust his greater work to, okay? Some of our motives are not right. Some of our heart attitudes toward things are not right. So when God sees that you're doing a great work, whatever that great work is, he will add more to that. That's just the nature of God because he's a multiplier, all right? So as you're doing a great work in the Lord, and for those of you who are just joining us, our topic today is doors, and it's just a one-word topic because it's going to encompass a whole lot. And I didn't want to, you know, I just didn't want to get deep with the title, praise God. But our opening scriptures is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. And so, you know, the reward for good work is more work, okay? So as God has opened up these great work, and about in the Greek, the word great means mega, okay? So in other words, what Paul was saying is that there are mega, excuse me, opportunities available to me, okay? These mega opportunities are living, all right? And even in the midst of that, there are those who will be set against me who will oppose me. That's the Greek. In my own Greek transliteration of what that means. For those of you just joining us, we talked about how the word effectual in the Greek means energeis, that means living. The word great means mega, which that's, you know, self-explanatory. The word doors is thura, okay, which means door, entrance, opportunity, opening way, or passage. And adversity or adversaries is the word antikamai, and it means to be set against or to oppose to or to withstand. So, you know, when I do my studies, I like to go back to the original tongue and just kind of get a greater understanding of what it means. So to break down again 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, we're talking about doors, and we have so much that we want to share today, is that God is opening up. He said, for there was this door open to me. Okay, this is a mega door. This mega door is living. That means it has the capacity to expand. It has the capacity to multiply. It has the capacity to bring forth. So as you're moving forth, as I was giving you a comparison with Jesus' parable of the talents, as you're moving forward, then that door will open more doors for you. Okay, so we're always moving, right? We're always moving in the kingdom. There's so much movement in the kingdom. There's never a standing still unless there's a time of refreshing, or unless there's a time where God is healing you from something that you went through, what have you. But we're always moving, okay? We're moving from faith to faith, from glory to glory, amen. We're moving in God. So as God is opening up doors for you, as you walk through the door, and I'm going to go here. It's not in my notes, but I'm just going to go with God. Here's what I found happens a lot of times when God opens a door, especially if it's a door that we've been waiting on for a while, is that many times we walk through the doors, and because we don't, you know, what we did to entice the Lord to open that door, we need to continue doing that once the door opens. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, whatever it was that God found in you to open that door for you, let him keep finding that in you. You know, don't get through the open door and change. Don't get through the open door and now it's all about you. You got the big head and you all of that stuff. Stay humble. Stay pliable. Walk softly before the Lord so that those doors can continue to open for you. Because God can open a door and, come on, he'll shut a door too. You understand what I'm saying? It's a living door. That door is going to obey the Lord. If there's fish in the sea that obey the voice of the Lord, that living door, and I said that because that word energeis means living. This thing has ears. This thing has a mouth. It will, your door will testify for you or will testify against you. Your door, praise God, will be a witness against you. So when God opens these doors for you, stay faithful. Praise God. Don't change mid-flow. Don't change midstream. Continue on your same path. Continue doing what God has instructed you, has told you to do. And you know what I'm saying? Just stay in that door so that God can open greater doors for you. You know, we want to be the saints that just go through door after door. I mean, have y'all seen those movies where it's just door, opening? You want to keep going to greater. So I don't want to spend too much time on that because we have so much to talk about today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16:9 is our opening scripture that there's this great effectual open door for me. However, it comes with opposition. So let's not faint in the day of adversity. Quit fainting. Quit backsliding. Quit falling back. When these things happen, you have to understand that this comes with the territory. Okay? When God opens a door for you, there is also a door of adversity open at the same time. Okay, this is what the Word of God is telling you. As God is opening a door of utterance or a door of whatever, which we're going to talk about the different doors in a little bit, but as God is opening up these doors for you, there are also doors of resistance open at the same time. That's what Paul said. So, yes, get excited about the open door. Get happy about the open door, but don't be blindsided by what comes with it. Okay, I taught, I think, last year in our Apostolic College, which actually begins Monday, praise Jesus. But I taught about the different types of warfare or the different types of resistance that comes with every office, okay, with every work. There is a devil that comes with it, okay? And so if we're not cognizant of that, we don't know how to arm ourselves. We don't know how to prepare ourselves. We don't know how to, you know, receive the training or to receive the development or the equipment that we need. And so we'll start out really strong, and some of y'all know this. We'll start out really strong, and then the first time a trial hits or the first time the enemy rears his head, you know, we fall apart. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said, who did hinder you when you ran so well? So, I don't know who that was for, but God bless you. That was yours. Okay, let's see. Lord God, where can I go? Let me talk to you about, let's talk about the doors, okay? Doors are opportunities, but doors are also people, okay? Doors are also people. And one of the things that I hit in my message this past Sunday, if you hadn't heard it, it's still on my Facebook page. It's called From Power to Power. Just finished the second part of it. But what I talked about is for those of us in ministry, many of you who are subscribers to this group are in ministry, okay, to a greater or lesser degree, you're in ministry. And what we need to understand is that ministry encompasses dealing with people. So if we have problems with people, our effectiveness in ministry is going to be greatly impacted. So many times we wonder why, and see, this is where the counseling aspect of this group comes from. Yes, I'm mentoring and I'm equipping and training and teaching, but also within these teachings, God has given me a grace to give counseling as well. So that's why it's the prophetic mentoring and counseling, okay, because God is going to speak to you on some things that you've been dealing with and you don't really know how to deal with it and you don't feel comfortable talking to folk about it. And so here I come along, don't know nothing, and he begins to speak. So, you know, some of the reasons why God allows us to go through some of the same tests we go through with people in church, work, relationship, is because we haven't passed that yet. If you want to be great and you want to be effective in ministry, and if you want to last in ministry, like I said, and many started out well and fell, but if you want to last, you want to endure to the end, you're going to have to learn how to deal with people, okay? Because that's what ministry is. Ministry is, the word ministry means servant. That's the Greek word of ministry. The Greek word for deacon is the same thing. Deacon and minister in the Greek is the same word, servant. That's all that is. And so who are we serving? People. So if we have an issue with serving people, if we have an issue with dealing with people, I'm telling you, God loves you and you're anointed, but I'm telling you right now, your walk in ministry will be crippled. Your walk in ministry will be handicapped until you learn how to deal with people. And you'll continue to face that test everywhere. You can switch churches. You can leave country. Let me tell you, there's nowhere you can go. Ask Jonah. You cannot escape. If God has put that word, that calling in you to do the work of the ministry, you have to prove that. And before you can prove it, you've got to be tested for it, okay? So it's more than just saying, God called me and I'm called to do this. It's greater than that. Once you get past that call, then you actually have to do the work. And doing the work means learning how to deal with people, learning how to get along with people, learning how to minister to people. And so if that's an area that we're struggling in, and I always like to include myself, okay, if that's an area that we're struggling in, we really need to take time in prayer. We really need to take time in prayer and ask God to help us. It may be something stemming from childhood. It may be something stemming from young adulthood. It may be something, you know what I'm saying, just stuff that has been attached to us too long, and now it's contaminating our work in the ministry. So we want to deal with that, because as I move to my next topic, that doors are also people. Okay, people can be an open door in your life, or a person can be a shut door in your life. Now, and I'm going to give you some biblical examples, all right? You know how I do. I'm not going to be deep and speak in tongues for a whole hour. I'm going to teach you. We can speak in tongues later, praise God, but right now we need to get into the meat of the word. Now, when you look at, and I'm not going to give you all scripture because most of you guys know it. If not, Google it. But if you look at Elisha and his servant, do you all remember the time when there was a battle and the Elisha's servant said he began to faint his heart? I can't remember it exactly. But anyway, he began to look at the armies that were coming against them. And Elisha prayed, and he asked the Lord to touch my servant's eyes and let him see that they are more for us than against us. Now, of course, yes, that goes along with the seer and all of that stuff. But then also understand this, that had Elisha not prayed that prayer for his servant, don't you know his eyes would have never been opened to the spiritual realm? So Elisha was a door to his servant. And so I say that to say this, there are people, because we're talking about people are doors also, there are people God will place in your life who are open doors to revelation. They are open doors to greater anointings. They are open doors to a greater understanding of the word. You understand? So it's now we're moving beyond a door being an opportunity to a door being a person. Give me just a moment. I apologize. So we're moving beyond doors being, you know, opportunity, and we're moving into looking at doors being people. Now, of course, the Bible doesn't say this, but we can infer this, that had Elisha not opened that door in prayer for the servant, he would have never seen into the spirit realm. Okay? So there are people. And this is why I keep going back to learn how to get along with folk. Because can I tell you this? There are some of us who have shut down certain people doors. You know, you don't like them, or they, whatever. You know, I can't even imagine what the reason is, and it doesn't matter, okay? You don't have to like everybody who God sends to you. You don't have to, you understand, God is not sending friends to you. Your mentor is not your friend. Your bishop, your leader, whoever, they're not your friend. If those of you have children in school, I'm sure you probably had the same conversation. Look, I don't send you to school to make friends. I send you to school to learn. Well, the same thing applies here, is that we've got to get beyond. If we want a friend, go find a friend. But when it comes into being molded and shaped and developed for the work of the ministry, this is beyond friendship. Okay, this is about training. This is about what do I need to learn? I will sit. I will be a student. This is why Jesus called the apostles disciples first. They sat at his feet for 3.5 years. 3.5 years they sat to learn, and he would send them out, and he would test them. They would come back. This is within my messages where they would come back and give a report. He'd send them out again. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, when you look at Elisha, and you look at the relationship between Elisha and his servant, you find that Elisha was an open door, okay? Now, Elijah was an open door to Elisha. So you see how that works? So as God has sent somebody in your life to be an open door, so will God send you to someone's life to be an open door. You see what I'm saying? Remember what I said earlier about how doors open doors. So some of you are wondering, well, why am I, you know, serving this and doing this in leadership? Or why am I, you know, why is God connecting me with this? Or why, you know, you kind of wonder why God has allowed you or has instructed you to make certain movements in your spiritual walk. And you don't really understand, okay? When Elijah approached Elisha, you know, Elisha wasn't asking for a prophet. This man was plowing, 12? I mean, he came from a wealthy family, 12 yoke of oxen? Come on. So, and I did a study a while back of how many oxen are in a yoke. But let me tell you something. He wasn't just walking his dog, okay? This man had he came from a family of wealth. If you would go back and look at it, Elisha came from a family of wealth. If you look at the context of it, before he left, he fed all of his servants and he blessed his family before he took off and abandoned everything for the work of ministry. And that's for some of you. God knows that's for me, that I had to abandon everything for the work of the ministry. So when Elijah approached Elisha, that was an open door. And what did Elijah do? Elijah gave him the opportunity. Remember, we said doors are opportunities. And Elijah kept it moving. He said, what have I to do with you? And he kept it moving. And so what Elisha had to do, Elisha had to run to catch up with Elijah. And so some of you, and, you know, hey, you know, I'm not talking about brown nosing or some of these other terms that people use, but there are some people that you need to pursue. You understand? Some people have what you need to get to the next place. Let me, my spiritual father, I pursued him before he even accepted me as a daughter. You know what I'm saying? We, when he, whenever he was in town, we were at his conferences. We got all his books. Y'all should see my bookshelves, and I got CD. I have just about everything he taught, and if I don't have it, you better believe I'll get it. You understand? The hunger. What did Jesus say about the blessed those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? You have to ask. You got to discern your hunger. How bad do you really want it? Some of us are casual. I had to deal with my spiritual children on just being casual. You know, you can't be casual. You have to be fervent. Fervent means to be on fire. So Elisha pursued Elijah, and as a result of that, Elijah and Elisha formed this relationship, this mentorship, this father-sonship. And as a result of that, Elijah became Elisha's open door to a double portion. See, do you see how that works? So as Elisha served Elijah, okay, as Elisha was disciple under Elijah, when he was taken up, what happened? He left an open door for Elisha to walk through. His mantle fell. Elisha took the mantle, hit the waters. The waters dried up. And from that point forward, he began to do twice. Because remember, Jesus said, greater work shall you do, okay, because I go to the Father. So he began to move in a double anointing than that of his predecessor. So, again, we're talking about doors. We're talking about it's bigger than having an opportunity to preach somewhere. It's bigger than that, okay? It's greater than that. So we talked about Elijah and Elisha, and we talked about the fact that some people are doors for you. Some people will open doors to revelation. I'll say this to you. I've always had a desire to write books. However, I never wrote my first book until I connected with my spiritual father. My spiritual father has a grace on him, Apostle Hopkins. Many of you know him. He writes, he teaches, he travels. And you know what? Because I'm connected with him, because I sow into him, because I'm a disciple of his teachings, that same anointing has rested upon my life. And so now I've written, 11 books, and not only that, but publishing for many others. So do you see that as I accepted him in my life, okay, as my open door, all right? Now, we know Jesus is the chief door. We know that. Come on. But as I accepted him in my life and as I submitted to that, then he opened doors for me. There are places that I go that I would have never went before. There are places of understanding, realms in the spirit that I may have never tapped into had I not been connected with that type of with him as that door. So I wanted to just really make that plain, because I feel that, you know, everybody's been church hurt. I mean, who hasn't? You know what I'm saying? Unless you come out of a hole somewhere. But everybody's been church hurt. But don't let the devil use that as a tool to keep you from moving to your next place in glory. You understand? Don't let the enemy, remember, these doors are open for you, but along with that will come the resistance. So don't let the enemy trap you off with, he don't like me, she didn't speak to me, nobody called me. Don't let the devil mess with you like that. Elijah went and called Elisha, and he kept it moving, okay? So you understand, and not everybody's going to come and chase after you. You have to learn what it is that you have to pursue. So seers and prophets are open doors. They can open doors for people. Let's talk about the widow of Zarephath. This woman was about to die. Her son, praise God, that was facing starvation. What happened? Elijah walked on the scene. He was her open door. When Elijah walked in, she embraced him. She accepted him. She followed his instructions. God broke starvation. God broke the spirit of death off her family through that open door. So, again, people, be discerning of certain people that God brings into your life, because some of these people have a grace to escort you to greater levels in God. Some of these people have a grace to expose you to some greater things that you may not have understood before. All right. So Elijah was an open door to the widow of Zarephath. Abraham was an open door for Lot. Don't you know, if it had not been for Lot, Lot would have never accumulated the wealth that he had. They didn't leave their hometown with wealth, but as Lot was connected to Abraham, then he began to wax great also. So again, there are some people that God will place in your life as open doors who have an anointing for wealth. You know what I'm saying? They have a strong marketplace anointing. They have a strong workplace anointing. And so, you know, understand these doors. Understand that doors, remember what the Greek word, living. There are living doors that God has made available to us. There are some people that will come through your life. They may teach you just one thing, but that one thing will bless your life forever. Okay? That one thing will shift your life forever. What about Ruth and Naomi? Okay? Naomi was an open door for Ruth. Had Ruth never met Naomi, she would have never, first of all, received salvation because she was a Moabite. She would have never received salvation, number one. Number two, she would have never found Boaz. So, again, there are women, seasoned women, okay, Titus women, that God will put in your life that will show you, that will teach you, that will be a model example. Because you know what, truth be told, not every woman grew up with a, you know what I'm saying, with a strong motherly love. You know, not every woman had that mother figure. You know what I'm saying? Not every mother has a mother in nature. And I know that's rough, but that's true. Not every mother has a mothering nature. And so there are many young women who have grown and, you know, who pretty much had to raise themselves, the streets had to raise them. And so they never really had a strong female mentor. And, you know, and God knows there are a lot of problems, you know, because of that. But when you look at Ruth and Naomi, Naomi was an open door. Naomi, the Bible doesn't say, but all you got to do is watch. Ruth said, your God is my God. Where you die, I die. Where you go, I go. There was such a strong, Ruth found something in Naomi that changed her life forever. Naomi was an open door for Ruth. Naomi taught Ruth some things, even to the point to where, Ruth found Boaz. Naomi told her where to go glean the field. Naomi told her what to do the night of the harvest. You understand what I'm saying? So again, you know, let's get delivered from people. I'm telling you, I've been preaching this for a while because I'm seeing this. I'm seeing this, that we allow what somebody said or what somebody did, and we shun back, we pull back, we draw back, or we shut down by virtue of what somebody has done. And a lot of times we're not understanding that that's exactly what the enemy wanted. You know what I'm saying? If you sit down, you know, God forbid, you know, God may sit you down. That's different. But what I'm saying, don't let nobody shove you into a corner that God didn't put you in. Don't let nobody sit you down when God didn't sit you down. Don't let nobody shut you up, okay? Don't be intimidated by folk. Don't be intimidated by somebody's title. Don't let people bully you. Come on. You got the Holy Ghost of God on the inside of you. Quit letting a person under demonic influence shut down the grace that God has put on the inside of you. If you can't get along with one individual, then you be faithful until God sends somebody else into your life. Just stay right. Just be faithful. Praise God. So when Ruth's husband died, that was a golden ticket. She could have went back like Orpah did, but she stayed. There will be circumstances that will tempt you to flee. You understand? That situation was a temptation to flee, and Orpah fell for it. But Ruth said, you know what? No, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here. Okay? And so what happened as a result? The woman got blessed because she stayed connected with that open door. All right? And because of her being connected to that open door, thank God that Jesus came down through her line. Okay? So as you remain faithful to your open door, you will be an open door to others. Doors open doors. God wants you to be an open door for somebody. But before you can properly position yourself to be an open door, you got to be faithful over the door that God is opening for you. Okay? Paul was an open door for Timothy. Now, why do I say that? Because Timothy was raised by his mother and his grandmother, right, by Lois and Eunice, and they raised him to the best of their ability. They put the word in him. The Bible, Paul said he was trained from a child to know the Holy Scriptures. But you know what? There was a level of anointing that Timothy needed to walk into that his mother nor his grandmother possessed. And there's nothing wrong with that. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. They took him as far as they could go. And there'll be some people who will serve as doors in your life, and they'll take you as far as they have the grace to take you. And then you know what? They'll set you up for a greater door, and they won't hate on you. You know what I'm saying? They won't fight on you, fight against you. So as Timothy sat under his mother and his grandmother, here come, now God opens the door for Paul to enter into his life. Do y'all see how this works? Do you see how even on your job, when you're faithful in that position, you're showing up on time, you're doing your stuff? Because this doesn't just apply in the spirit. It's also in the natural realm as well, that you can be faithful and so steadfast in your position that you get a promotion. Why? Because you've already proven that you can handle what's coming next. And so in Timothy's case, God saw that there was a great anointing that rested upon him. There was a greater work that he wanted to do in Timothy's life, so he sent Paul his way. Paul took him under his wings, and Paul began to establish him and train him as an apostle. Okay? So again, living doors. We're basing that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. Deborah, Old Testament judge Deborah, who was a prophetess, praise God, and a mother to Israel, she was a door for Barak and for Yael. It's spelled J-L, but it's pronounced Yael. She was a door for the. Don't you know Barak would have never went to war without her? Okay? And so there's some people, praise God, in your life that there are battles and things that they have to face, but they can't do it alone. For whatever, whether it's fear, whether it's ignorance, whether it's laziness, whatever the situation is, but God will send you into their life just for that season of warfare that they're going through. And let me say this. You may be a door in somebody's life, but you don't always have to be you may be a temporary door. You have to know the difference. You have to know the difference. Because when, and I'll get to this in a minute, when doors shut. Okay, remember what the Bible, Jesus said in Revelation 3:8, I set before you open door, but then also he will shut doors as well. I'll talk about that in just a few moments. But if Deborah, had not stood with Barak in battle, he would have never went. So there are some people that have situations in their life that they have to do warfare, and God will send you into their life just for that season of warfare that they're in. Now, you got to know when your season is up. You have to know, and I guess I'm already into the closed door, huh? You have to know when God's, okay, now the season has ended, the door has shut, I'm moving you on. Okay? You don't want to stay in a place where the door is shut. It's not productive for you. It's frustrating for you, praise God. It won't work for you or the other person, okay? Because that person will know, even if you don't know, that person will know when that door has shut, and they won't let you in. You understand what I'm saying? They will know by the Holy Ghost that, you know what, I appreciate you, man, woman of God, and thank you for helping me through this season. I moved on. And, you know, whether you agree with it or whether you like it or not, you have to respect that person's shut door. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Let me finish up with Deborah and Barak. So Barak didn't go to battle without Deborah. Listen, Yael would have never risen up to be the woman warrior, princess warrior, that she was had it not been for Deborah. So again, same thing going back to Elisha. There are some people that you will never know that you would have the courage to do something unless you see it in somebody else. You'll never know. There are things that you wonder, God, can this be done? Can I do this? And then you'll see another woman of God doing it. Or you'll see another man of God doing it. And it becomes an open door. It opens up something in your mind to show you, wow, this can be done. I can do that. And that person has become an open door. You understand what I'm saying? So I said that Elijah was a door for the widow. Elijah was a door for Elisha. Because you know what? You can be multiple doors. I love that. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You can be multiple doors. You can be doors for many people. You see what I'm saying? As Deborah was the door for Barak and Yael and for the whole Israel, really, okay, whereas Naomi was just one door for Ruth. You see what I'm saying? So you can be multiple doors, all right? You can be multiple doors for people. You can be multiple doors for multiple people. But you, as being a door, you have to know your limitations. You have to know, you got to know your grace. Now, Jesus is our door. Amen. We can't get to the Father without him. He said, if any man come up by any other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. So we know that. So even as I'm speaking of open doors, don't get it twisted. I know who Jesus is. Okay, Jesus is our open door. We can't pray to the Father without Jesus. We can't receive salvation without Jesus. So Jesus has shown us the true example of being a door. His blood, when he died, he rent the veil. He opened, he gave us access. Remember we said that doors represent access, opportunities, openings. in a passage. So Jesus is our prime example of what a door is. And so, he, you know, when he tells us, be followers after me, or he tells us, greater work shall you do, he has given us that same opportunity to be an open door. Okay? Do you remember when Peter was an open door to Cornelius' household? Cornelius wanted his family to be saved, and he prayed, and because of his almsgiving, he, and this man didn't really even understand the ways of God, but because he had a heart to give. And so God, his giving came up before the Lord as a memorial, and so God told Peter, praise God, and he's sitting on top of a roof, sleep. Praise God. And so God shows Peter this vision of these unclean animals and tells Peter, arise, Peter, and eat. And Peter was like, no, Lord, not so. These are unclean. And so God tells Peter, don't call common what I have cleansed. And so from that point forward, it was Peter's assignment to Cornelius' household. And what did Peter do? Peter went down to Cornelius' household, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody in the house got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you see how that happened? Cornelius blessed the kingdom of God, didn't even really know, you know what I'm saying, didn't even really understand what he was doing, but he just wanted, that was the only, you know what, let me say this, thank you, Holy Spirit. Some people don't really know how to please God's heart. They really don't. They have the desire, but they don't have, remember how the word of God said you have a zeal but not according to knowledge? Some people really don't know. And so, you know, we have to be careful how we mock people or how we interpret people's actions. There'll be some people that will come into your life and they just want to bless you. They'll cook for you. They'll give. You know, they don't know. That's just their way of giving. That's their way of loving. You understand? Some people love by giving. My mother was like that before she passed. Excuse me. Before she passed, she just loved to give. She would grab people and put money in their hands. That was just, and it was no motive. That was just the way she knew how to please God's heart. You know, she wasn't a very eloquent in scripture. She wasn't eloquent public speaker. You know, she was kind of shy in her own right. But the way she knew, and I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going because I feel the Lord wants, he want me to share this. The way that she knew how to love God was through blessing his people. That's how that pleased her heart. There would be conversations that she and I would have when, you know, and she would tithe $100 a week, and she didn't make $1,000 a week, but that was just her heart. That was just the way she wanted to love God. You understand what I'm saying? So there's some people, as I just gave you the example of Cornelius, that they don't really know how else, you know, they don't know, how do I want to say this? They're trying to please God with everything they know. And remember what Priscilla and Aquila did? They took Apollos to the side and they said, let me show you a more excellent way. You see, because there are some people who are doing the very best that they can. So we got to be careful how you judge folk and how you put your, you know, come on, you know how we do. You have to be careful how you do that because that may be all that they know to do. You understand? That may be all that they know to do to please God's heart. That's all they know. You know, I had this one member, bless her heart, every Sunday at the church. She's got dinner. She's got cakes. That was just in her heart to do that. So, and so in Cornelius' case, the way that nobody preached nothing to him. Nobody sat down and shared the word of God with him. I mean, come on, they were barbarians. They were Gentiles. The early church was just being formed, so it was strong with the Jews, okay? But with the Gentiles, you know, they didn't really know how to maneuver that. And so that's why God had to raise up Apostle Paul. So even when God sent Peter, praise God, Peter kind of was like, you know, God, I got an issue. You know, I mean, you want me to go down to this man's house? They're not saved. And God said, don't say that. You, if I'm sending you there, you go. Okay? And so Peter became this open door for Cornelius, but what opened the door for Cornelius was his giving. Okay? It was his heart. It was the fact that he said, you know what? This is all I know to do. And remember what I said earlier, if you're faithful over the little things, God make you rule over many. What you're doing may be all you know to do. You know, this may be all you know to do. God hadn't shown you no dream. God hadn't shown you no vision. You ain't got no revelation from him. All you know to do is just sweep. That's all. You just sweep, sweep, sweep all day long. But God sees your faithfulness, okay? He sees your faithfulness. It comes up before him as a memorial. And what does God do? Send a prophet or send an apostle or send a word. And then that word, that person becomes an open door to grant you access to a greater thing. So that's just a beautiful example of how Cornelius, his giving, his almsgiving, he became an open door to the Gentiles. A Gentile became an open door to the Gentiles, okay? So Peter, as I stated, you can be a door to multiple people. You know, you can be a multiple door to multiple people. Let however God wants to use you. And as I stated earlier, like the man with the talents, the more you show God that he can trust you, the more you show God that you can handle what he's put on your plate, then he'll open up greater things for you. Okay, that's how that works. God is a multiplier. Seed begets seed. What you plant, that's what you harvest. So if you're sowing good seed and you're being a blessing to the to different people that God brings into your life, then God's going to, let me tell you something, man, God's going to work on you. He's going to use you, and he'll use you in your sleep. He'll show you dreams about people. Why are you sleeping? You're still doing work of the ministry. Why? Because God has found somebody that can be used for the kingdom. All right? So I want to talk about closed doors for a moment, because if we are an open door in somebody's life, you got to understand that that door can shut, all right? Do you remember Elisha and Gehazi? Remember when and Gehazi was Elisha's armor bearer or servant, however you want to term it? And so with Gehazi, I don't want to get into the whole story, but anyway, Gehazi did something, okay, that caused Elisha to shut that door of the mentorship, shut that door of the relationship. So even though God opens doors for you, okay, for us, we, our actions can cause God to shut the door. You understand that? Don't think that just because a door is open, that it's going to remain open always. God can open a door. He said, the door I open, no man can shut. The door I shut, no man can open. God can open doors for us. God can send people into our lives to be a blessing, and then God can also shut that door and tell that person, don't go back that way. What did Jesus tell the disciples? He said, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off and keep it moving. So we got to understand this too, that even in as speaking of us as doors, there will be times when God will tell you, don't deal with that anymore. He will shut you away from that situation. He will seal you away from it, and he'll move you on. And that's what happened with Elisha and Gehazi. Gehazi went and took some money from Naaman the Syrian. Elisha didn't want nothing from him because it was a pride issue with Naaman, and Elisha was not trying to feed into that spirit of pride. And I'm talking to you prophets. You'll know when you're dealing with somebody that's prideful, and God will tell you, don't take nothing from them, because they'll take it and turn it around and use it against you. Okay, so Elisha didn't want to take anything from Naaman. Naaman had an issue. Naaman didn't even want to baptize in the Jordan River because it was dirty. I mean, y'all know the story. And so Gehazi sees all of this wealth that Elisha passed up. Okay, that's another characteristic of the prophetic, is that we're not greed-based. Okay, we're not after that money, praise God. There is wealth in the prophetic. God will send people to bless you as prophets, okay? But you don't seek after that, all right? And you're not motivated by that. You do what you do. I don't care if you live in Alvarez. Remember what I said? Some prophets are sent to widows. You know, you got to know. You have to know your assignment, and you got to be faithful with that. What was I saying? So Naaman offered all this money or whatever it was, clothes and stuff thank you, Holy Spirit, to Elisha. Elisha didn't want it. Gehazi ran after him and lied. Oh, my prophet, my man of God said so and so and so and so and so. What happened? He took the garments. Okay, he defied what his Elisha said, and it shut the door. So I want to make that very clear, that God can send people as open doors in our life, and our behavior, our misconduct can cause the Lord to shut you away from that person. Same, let me give you another biblical example. And those of you who are new to our prophetic mentoring counseling group, this is how I am, very down to earth. My teachings, you know, my career is an elementary teacher, so I sort of teach on that level, praise God, so everybody can get it. I'm not real deep. I don't want to be deep. That's not how God called me. But, you know, I love to use biblical examples. And the reason why I say that is because there's a lot of nonsense going on in a lot of prophetic circles where we're pulling for extra revelation, stuff that cannot be biblically validated. And I will never bring to you a teaching that I cannot substantiate in Scripture. Okay, I want to make that very plain. If I can't find it in Scripture, I will not preach it. I won't teach it. You know, I won't touch it. Okay, I'm very leery of that. So in all of my teachings, I'm always going to center it in Jesus. I'm always going to open it with the Scripture, because I believe in the Word of God, okay? I'm always going to open it in Scripture, and I'm always going to center it in Jesus, okay? And then I'm always going to give you tons of biblical examples. I've been a student of the Word since I was 13, okay, and I'm in my 40s. So I'm going to give you tons of biblical examples to demonstrate to you the wealth of the Word that God is giving us. And I'm not going to make it deep to where you got to find a dictionary and encyclopedia. I'll make it real plain to where you can get it. And if you feel led, you can share it with somebody or you can use it for your own personal growth and development. I'm just as plain as can be, okay? I just keep it real. So in the case of, I said I'd like to say this, of Elijah and, Samuel and Saul. Y'all know I love to pick on Saul. God truly sent Samuel to Saul. God used Samuel to ordain Saul. God used Samuel to anoint Saul. And God used Samuel to train and walk beside Samuel to raise, because he was the first king. He had never kinged before, so he was the first king. He didn't know. And so God sent Samuel in his life to be that mentor, okay, to be that father figure. And what happened in the beginning, because remember what I said earlier, some of us, we get through these open doors and we do real good for a minute. And then we see some of the things that come to us, you know, come on, we see some of the opportunities and we see some of the resources that are available to us, and some of us we shift in midstream. Let's not do that. But here we find in Saul's case, Saul shifted. Saul shifted. He became crafty, okay, and he began to defy Samuel, the very one that God sent into his life. And what happened? God told Samuel to turn away from him. God shut that door, even to the point when Samuel passed away, Saul was still trying to get access to him. So listen, let me say this to you, you know, and you may be that Samuel or you may be that Saul. I don't know what your situation is, but hear me on both ends of it. If you're that Samuel to a Saul and God tells you that season has ended, you have to obey God. And you know what the Bible says? It broke Samuel's heart. Because even though the relationship has severed, it doesn't mean that your heart has not healed from that. And you know, people say, oh, well, God has cut me off from that. But yeah, the relationship may be severed, but you're still emotionally attached. There's still that soul tie that God has to heal you from. So don't get that twisted, okay? You may not be able to contact them. You may not be able to hang out and eat dinner with them. But you'll still long after them because it's a divorce. Okay, it's a relationship divorce, and you're going to go through the grieving of it. And so Samuel went through the grief of it. And I'm going to say that to some of you that, you know, you don't understand the grief of relationships. Grief is not just when someone dies and leaves this physical existence, but grief is also when a relationship ends. And you need to allow God to heal you from that, okay? Otherwise, you're venturing to another relationship. And when I say relationship, I don't mean boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm just talking about whatever your thing is, okay? You'll go into that, and you're still wounded. And you know what? You'll be leery of people. You won't trust folk. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's under arrest. You know, anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. In other words, you know, everything they say, you examining it. And there's one thing to be discerning. There's another thing to be suspicious. And when you're not healed, you become suspicious. Everybody's suspect. You know what I'm saying? That means that there's some areas in your emotions that are not healed yet. And so then you have to go to God and say, you know what, Father, I'm still hurt over me and Sister So-and-so. We was friends for years, and we birthed babies together, and we was baptized and came up in the church. You know what I'm saying? And now, God, you have separated me from her. And it hurts. You know what I'm saying? But let God heal that. And don't shun away the new doors that God is going to open for you, because if God shuts one door, he's got another door open. There's somebody that said, praise him in the hallway. You know, you may be in between doors. Praise God anyway. Stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful. I don't care what season you're in, stay faithful. If you're in a hallway season, be faithful in your hallway season. If you're in a shut door season, be faithful to your shut door season. If you're in an open door, wherever you are, be faithful in it, okay? So God had to shut that door between Samuel and Saul because Saul disrespected him. All right? And listen, you have this saying, oh, well, I thought you were a Christian, and you supposed, y'all, I know y'all heard it. I thought you were supposed to be so-and-so. I am who I said I am. I am who God said I am. But I also understand that I'm not a doormat. Come on, I may be anointed, but I'm not no punk. You see what I'm saying? Come on, we got a lion nature on the inside of us. He roars. You know, there's a time when you operate in a sheep anointing, and there's a time when you operate in a lion's anointing. You got to know the difference. So, and I'm so congested. Y'all pray for me. So, anyway, Samuel had to end, God had to end that season. Listen, it wasn't Samuel, and thank you, Holy Spirit. God has to shut the door for you, okay? It's not, well, you know what, I had a dream when things don't go your way. Then you have a dream and you get real creative in the spirit. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. Even in your open door season, they may very well still may be things that go wrong. Let's talk about King David for a moment. King David was in an open door season of his life to become king. He was anointed as king. He was ordained as king. However, he had to serve a Saul. Y'all know the story behind that. He didn't say, God, you missed it. The prophet missed it. And you know how some of us do. You know how some of us do. We, the minute things don't go right, the minute we get rebuked or attacked, then our season has ended. You don't get to define the end or beginning of your season, okay? If you were bought with the price, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, he becomes the author and the finisher of your faith. He becomes Lord and Savior. Many of us call on Jesus as Savior when we're in trouble, but he is also Lord. That means he has rulership over our life. So we don't get to announce seasons in our life. We don't get to do that. We don't get to say that, you know what, I'm going through something. It's my time to go. It's my time. It wasn't David's time to go until he had to run for his life. But do you understand what I'm saying? He still served Saul. He wouldn't lay his hands on him. There's a lot to be learned from that. I wish I had time to go into it, but it'll take me too far away from the topic. But if that's where you are, if you're dealing with a David-Saul thing, go to God and pray and ask God, Lord, take me to the scriptures and show me how to handle a Saul. I'm in a church with a leader who has a Saul anointing. But God, you know what? I don't feel like you're releasing me from it yet, but every time I go to church, I'm being attacked. Or every time I come around this individual, I'm being attacked. I feel like, you know, I can't do nothing right. What do I do? You know what I'm saying? And let the Holy Spirit teach you and train you, because you don't want to miss it. You don't want that door to shut based on you overreacting in your emotions. All right? So you want to be very careful about that. So some of those doors, it comes with opposition. That assignment that David had, it came with great opposition. My God, it came with great opposition. But he endured it. And he stayed in his little corner until they came and sent for him. All right? So let me try to get, believe it or not, I hadn't even gotten through half of my notes. That was just all pulling on the Holy Spirit. Let's see. Moses, let me talk about Moses being the door to Israel's deliverance. All right? God raised Moses up in the house of Pharaoh. God sent Moses into the woods to be trained, delivered from the spirit of Egypt. And then he brought him back as a deliverer. Okay, and so when Moses came back into Egypt, he came back as a door for Israel's deliverance. And that's to say, even to some of you, are the door to somebody's deliverance. Through you, God will break that family line curse. Through you, God will save that drunk. Through you, you know, and I mean, of course, we know Jesus. Come on now. But what I'm saying is God, because he ministers through us. God uses us. So God used Moses. And listen, here comes the great adversity. 10 times he had to go to Pharaoh. 10 times. Pharaoh humiliated him. Herod embarrassed him. Come on. This was adversity. But you know what? He never gave up. He never gave up. And God was with him every step of the way, even when his own folk doubted who he was and the power that he had within him. He still stayed faithful. So there are those of you who the Lord is using as open doors. You are the open door for your family. Nobody else in your family is saved but you. Nobody else in your house is saved but you, and you're the open door. You are the only one keeping the wrath of God from hitting your child. You are the only one keeping the wrath of God from taking your spouse out. You are that door. You are that door. Remember what the Bible said about Abraham when Abraham stood in the door of the tent? I love how the Bible puts that. He stood in the door of the tent, and you know what? I believe because he stood in the door of the tent, that's what allowed God to come and meet with him and counsel with him and share with him what was about to take place in Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? To the point that Lot was delivered from that. Why? Because he stood in the door of the tent. Some of you are standing in the door. Some of you are the door, and you're standing in the door. You're the one. You're like Rahab. You got the scarlet thread thrown out of your window saying, God, you know, look, I'll give you my life to save my family's life. I'll put my life on the line to save somebody else because you are that door. And so that's why you go through the hell that you go through. That's why you go through the warfare that you go through. Oh, God, I feel this real strong. Why? Because if you would just give up, If you would just throw in the towel, if you would just backslide, if you would just walk away, the enemy would come in and consume your family like, my God, gas on fire. He would take your whole family generation and all the generational things that you saw happening in your grandmother and your great-grandmother and your uncles and aunties, all of those demons, praise God, that are standing at the door. And I'm going to give you a scripture. This is found in Genesis 19:6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going in just a few minutes. But all of those spirits are facing you at the door. And you know what? You take the heat for it. You're taking the brunt for it. Amen. Some of you have even been battling in your body, battling in your health because you've been fighting for your family, praise God. David talked about how his grief was causing his bones to get weak. Some of you, you're so grieved over some of the things that you're seeing happening in your family, some of the things that you're seeing happening even in your church, but you're not willing to give up. You're not willing to shut the door on it. You're not willing to walk away from it. You would rather stand there and take the hit. You are actually operating in the same spirit that Jesus did when they beat him, when they crucified him. Why? Because he was the door. They tried to kill him, but Jesus said, you can't kill me. You can't take my life unless I give it to you. And I maintain to tell some of you today that keep standing because the enemy cannot breach the threshold of your door as long as you are standing there. So keep taking the hits. Keep standing. Praise God. Let them talk about you. Let them call you a churchaholic. Let them call you church crazy. Let them call you whatever they want to call you, but what they don't understand is that you are the door. You are the door. You are like Cornelius. You are like that door of salvation, praise God. Sometimes some of you give. You don't even know why, praise God. You just do what you do, praise God, because there's something in you that say, God, I believe that what I do for others, you'll do for me. You understand the law of reciprocity. You know that what you sow, you will reap. So some of you even are kind to strangers because you're trusting God to be, that somebody will be raised up to be kind to your son that you can't reach and your daughter that you can't reach. So as you are sowing seed and as you are being a blessing to others, God will in turn, the same way he sent Peter to the house of Cornelius, God will send somebody to your child's house, to your, and I don't mean house building, I mean house spirit. God will send somebody to them with a word, praise God, to the point of salvation, to the point of deliverance, healing, and breakthrough. Why? Because you, my brother, my sister, are an open door. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible says, and because we talked about Lot being in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Well, check this out. The Bible says that, which version I want to go with? Jesus. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him, okay? This is Genesis 19:6, King James Version. Listen to this. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Now, when you look at that in the Hebrew, okay, for those of you that don't know, the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. So many times, in order to gain a deeper understanding of some of the terminology that's used, you can go back to the Hebrew. Okay, you can get you a Thompson Chain Reference Bible Scope. Just get you a good reference Bible, okay, a keyword study Bible. Get you a good reference Bible and invest in some Bibles, people of God, okay? Invest in your Bibles and learn how to transliterate. Learn how to go back to the original tongue and find out exactly what that word means. Because most times it will give you, sometimes it won't, sometimes it will, give you a deeper revelation, a deeper understanding of what's taking place, all right? So the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, New Testament was written in Greek, all right? It's been translated into English, but you can go right back and find what that word originally means in its native tongue. So now in Genesis 19:6, Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him. In this particular verse, you see the word door used twice. Now, if you were just reading it versus studying it, you would find out that these words, doors, even though it looks the same and sounds the same, in the Hebrew, they are two different words. In the Hebrew, the first door, and Lot went out at the door, that word is the word, let me look this up in my notes, is the word pesah. And that means, like in the Greek, a door, entrance, opening, access. Okay? So Lot went out from his door to consult with these demons. And that's what they were. These were homosexual men, spirits of sodomy, spirits of sexual molestation, spirits of sexual immorality, just demons, okay? I mean, we can name them all day. They're devils, okay, devils. So Lot went out of his door, okay, to confront these devils. This is going to bless some of y'all so good. I'm telling you, you're going to love Jesus when I get done with this. And shut the door behind him. Now, the second word, door, is the Hebrew word deleth. Deleth. And this word figuratively means chest, crocodile jaws, swinging doors, or a loose woman. Okay? Now, y'all probably like, now, what in the world does that mean? What this means is that Lot went out of his door, his access door, okay, like we have a normal door access. He went out of his opening. But when he went out of the opening, he shut a spiritual door behind him, okay? This is what I'm saying about some of y'all open doors. Lot stood at that door, and he contended with those devils that wanted to come into his house. And that's what some of you all are doing right now in the spirit. You are standing outside of your door, just like Abraham did. You're standing outside of your door, and you have shut a spiritual door to block the crocodile jaws, okay? The Bible says, I mean, the commentators say swinging door, loose women, which are spirits of sexual immorality, okay, sexual sin. He shut that door. He would not allow that devil to cross his threshold. So you know what he did? He put his own self on the front line. He put himself in harm's way. Somebody, Marvin, I think Wine and BB, somebody made a song. He put himself in harm's way, okay? Why? To protect what's behind him. So that word door, God, I feel the presence of God so thick, y'all. That word door, that verse door, it has two different meanings. I'm going to go out of my door, but I'm going to shut the door behind me. I'm going to go out one door, but I'm not going to allow the enemy to penetrate this door. You understand? I'm going to go out of a natural door. I'm going to step outside of my circumstances, okay? And I'm going to, because remember what the Bible said about prayer? Jesus said, when you go into your closet, shut the door behind you. Jesus, did y'all get that? Shut the door. Shut the door. Seal the gates, praise God. Listen, you gotta shut the gate. You have to shut the door. You cannot allow the enemy, as you stand outside the gate warring, because you don't fight in your house. You don't, who fights in their house? I mean, come on. You get outside. You ever, come on, y'all know we won't all say forever. When you get into a fight, what do you say? Let's take it outside. Well, where do you say that? Where do you say that comes from? You don't fight in your house. You fight outside the house. Why? To keep the fight from taking place inside. You protect your house. Open door people, you protect your house. You take the fight out into the street, and then you come home and you get healed or whatever your situation is. But you don't fight inside your house, okay? And so here's what Lot did. Lot took the battle outside his door, and he went out his natural door, but he shut a spiritual door behind him. He would not allow the jaws of the crocodile. He would not allow the spirit of sexual immorality. You understand? That chest, he wouldn't allow the enemy to shut himself, to shut their treasures down, to shut down, praise God, the morals that he built his family with, which, come on, they was in Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't much, but what little they had, you know, he's trying to preserve it, bless his heart. But do you understand now what that scripture means? Do you understand now? And then look over to verse 11. Let me try to get to verse 11 real quick. Ooh, Father, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. All right, and so, listen, Genesis 19:11, this is so good, y'all. And they smote, talking about the angels now, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. Listen, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Now, you know what, that right there, that if I was preaching this, I would have to stop and give God a praise break. Because as Lot, and let's get past his nonsense and his foolishness, but listen, the mind that Lot had to protect his family came from the prayers of Abraham. Good God Almighty. Some of your prayers, listen, some of you got some children. You got some children like Job. You trying to live the best that you can. And it don't have to be a spirit. It can be spiritual children, natural children, God children, what have you. And you're like Job. You're interceding, interceding, interceding. And listen, Abraham interceded for Lot to the point God gave this man a mind to protect his family. Do you know later on in the story, even his wife turned back, Lot never turned back? Because God gave Lot a mind to fight through Abraham's prayers. Now that, listen, that's a word to build you right there. Some of you, you're looking at some of your situations and you don't see change. You don't see people. You just don't see it, okay? But listen, faith is not what you can see. You understand what I'm saying? You're not looking for change. You are expecting change. When you expect something, you act as if it's on the way, okay? So Abraham interceded by him standing in the door of his tent. He became the open door for Lot. As he became the open door, Abraham entertained the presence of the Lord and the angels of wrath. Somebody get that. These were angels of wrath that were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah that were traveling with the Lord but stopped at Abraham's tent. There are, oh my God, listen. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Some of us don't pray enough. And one of the schools that I'm going to be teaching in our apostolic college is the school of prayer. Let me tell you something. We've got to get back to prayer. And I'm not talking about hollering and screaming and all of this stuff. I'm talking about getting back to what prayer really is, to the point you see in change. You see it in demons. You see it in angels, God's angels, that were on their way to destroy people, stop at your house and give you time to pray. That oh, God, Lord have mercy, I almost went off. Listen, that starts Monday. $50 is the course, $25 for True Love members. You need to get registered for that. I'll have, hopefully get the website up sometime soon. But as Abraham stood in the door of the tent, he stood in the door of the tent. He entertained the presence of God. He entertained the angels of wrath. The Lord stayed with Abraham. The angels of wrath continued on their journey, but they had a different assignment. Because Abraham stood in that open door, the assignment of the angels of God's wrath changed. Somebody get this. You can change the assignment of angels through your prayers by being an open door for your unsaved folk. Okay? And so as a result of that, now God begins to renew Lot's mind. We're going to close a little bit, okay? God begins to renew Lot's mind. Gives him, remember the Lord David said, he teach my hands to war, my fingers to fight. He begins to teach Lot how to protect his family. And man, I can get into this. Oh, my God. You have to know Lot had a relationship with these guys because he called them brothers. Okay? Y'all got to go read this. Go and read Genesis chapter 19. And he said, my brothers don't do this, or my friends. So there was a relationship. But now that once God had changed his mind, okay, the relationship changed. Whereas, remember, they were in a, Lot was an elder. And I don't know why I'm going here, but I got to go. Lot was there, was an elder. So he knew the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. But when Abraham prayed, his whole mind, he didn't see them the same. He knew now, I got to protect my people. He had to protect his people. He knew his whole, God shifted his whole mind. So hold on for a minute. I'm so sorry. So God gave Lot a change of mind. And he stood at the door. So listen, in Genesis chapter 19, verse 11, now the angels step up, okay? Because some of us are waiting for God to do everything, but you won't do nothing. We just sit back, I'm waiting on Jesus, and the whole house is being torn to pieces. No, you got to put yourself out on the front line, too. You got to get out there and fight, too, okay? God likes soldiers. He raises up soldiers. Amen. So as Lot, in verse 6, we see that Lot contended with him at the door, right? He shut the door behind him. He wouldn't let nobody in. He wouldn't let those spirits of sexual immorality come and enter into his house, praise God, and take over those angels, those men that God had sent on assignment. And so in verse 11, the Bible says, and they smote the men. We're talking about the angels now. See, once you do your part, then God does his part. And so they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. Both small and great. Listen, my God, when you pray, God, smite the enemies of my house with blindness. Smite every spirit, Lord God. See, oh, Lord, I'm already teaching the school of prayer. You learn the biblical precepts of prayer. Pray the Holy Scriptures. Those that's enrolling, I'm going to teach you the biblical precepts of prayer. Okay? People wonder, prophets, why are you always smiling? Why are you always happy? It doesn't mean that I don't go through hell. I go through hell like some of y'all, praise God, but you'll never know it. Because I don't have to wear my battle. I know how to battle. I know which position to battle from. Amen. And so when Lot stood and did his battle, then God came in and fought the rest of the battle with him and smote his enemies, the enemies of his house, with blindness. So you can pray, Father, in Jesus' name, smite the enemies of my household with blindness. Smite the enemies of my destiny. Smite the enemy of my son's destiny with blindness so that they can't find him. You know what I'm saying? You got folk that's finding your children, connecting with them all kinds. God, smote them with blindness. Jesus, that's something. so small and great, that they wearied themselves, or some other translation said they could not find the door. They were trying to get inside. They wore themselves out. Some translations say they were groping and reaching, trying to find it, but God struck them with blindness. You go into the realm of the spirit in prayer and ask God to smite the enemies of your children, smite the enemies of your spouse. Some of you have spouses that are connected with the wrong folk. Amen. It's bringing all kind of contamination into your house. You and your husband, you and your wife arguing over issues that ain't even your issue. Y'all wearing somebody else's nonsense because something transferred. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to smite the enemies of my marriage. Smite it with blindness. God, everybody trying to connect to my husband, everybody trying to connect to my wife, to, Lord God, to contaminate the atmosphere of our marriage. Lord God, smite them with blindness. Okay? And I'm going to say that, and then let's move on to Solomon, Song of Solomon 8 and 9, then we're going to dismiss for today. Woo, God is good. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 9. I guess it would help if I had it in front of me. Give me just a minute. All right, it says, King James, let me go. If she be a wall, this is Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 9. If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. But this is what I want to pay attention to. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Now, of course, we know that Song of Solomon is about a marriage relationship, a covenant relationship. It can be the sexual relationship between a man and a wife, amen, which I've been wanting to teach on that for a minute, but God has not released me to yet. But it also represents the covenant relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. And that's why, you know, sometimes even on my Facebook page and I see people go in, oh, the church is messed up at the church, and I'm telling them, look, be careful how you touch Jesus' bride. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how, you know. Don't touch a man's bride. Don't do that. If God wants to deal with his church, you let him, you pray, okay? But don't call the church jacked up and messed up and you know, don't do that. Don't group everybody together because you had one bad experience. Don't do that. Be very careful how you handle Jesus' bride, okay? Be careful. He loves his bride. He gave his life for the bride. And if you think about it in a natural aspect of a man and his wife, a real man won't let you touch his wife. He won't even let you disrespect. I've seen one a movie or something where this boy disrespected his mother, and the father slapped him. And he said, you know, and I forget, some of y'all may know. And he said, you don't talk to my wife like that. And he said, well, he's my mother. He said, yeah, but she was my wife before she was your mother. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't be careful, okay? Be careful how you touch the Lord's wife, bride. So, Song of Solomon represents a sexual relationship between a man and his wife, a romantic relationship. It also represents a covenant relationship between the Lord Jesus and his bride. So now you find here in the latter part of the verse, it says, if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Now, why did the Lord say in this scripture that they would enclose her with cedar? This is talking about a marriage, and in the context, it's talking about a virgin that kept her body. Okay, and so what they said, if she be a wall, in other words, if she's a virgin, you find some translations, or if you look in your Hebrew, it says she's a virgin. And so, you know, with a virgin, you protect that, right? They build her a palace of silver. In other words, she receives great honor. She's protected. She's like a tower. You know what I'm saying? That's rare in these days. God have mercy. And then he said, if she be a door, in other words, if she's closed up, right? He said, we will barricade her, in some translations, with a plank of cedar or with boards of cedar. And so what that means is if the marriage, let me just talk about this from a marriage aspect, or you can look at it from a relationship, whatever, okay, if it's something of value, let me put it like that, make it real plain. If you have a relationship that's of worth, church relationship, family relationship, marriage relationship, job relationship, business relationship, whatever your relationship is, if it's something worthwhile, praise God, you build a strong door. You build, and the Bible says they built this door of cedar, okay? Now, let me show you what a cedar, what that means. Cedar is a carefully, it means to be carefully and effectually protected. It means that no damage will be permitted. No, it will not receive damage to it. It means a special protection. The nature of cedar is that it is hard, it is durable. It means that she's well-fenced, or the relationship is well-fenced, well-protected. It means that the power of the enemies cannot penetrate or deface it or demolish it. And then also another natural characteristic of cedar is that it is fragrant. Y'all know your grandmother may have had like a cedar chest, amen, real beautiful, pretty wood, and it's got this beautiful smell to it. Some of you may have the little cedar marble things in your closet or what have you. It's a beautiful, it has a fragrant aroma to it. Okay, it's perpetual cedar. The cedar wood lasts forever. You protect it, you polish it, it lasts forever. Okay, it's incorruptible, it's beautiful and enduring. Okay, so now this is the type of door, because as we talked about people doors, we talked about opportunity doors, but now my last thing is doors of protection. That when you're building relationships, you build a door of protection so that nothing can penetrate it. Okay, nothing can violate that. Nothing can demolish it. Nothing. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, 19? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay, because God has so penetrated, has so fortified the church with angels, with powers, with interceding saints, amen, with the fivefold, praise God, with the defenders of the gospel, that the enemy is not supposed to breach the gate. The enemy is not supposed to breach the gate. And so instead of us picking and finding fault about what's wrong with the church, your assignment then is to become rise up to become a defender. You're supposed to build the door, build a cedar door to where the enemy cannot come in. That's your assignment. Instead of picking at everything that's wrong, you stand up and you do what's right. Okay, so I'm trying to close out because, boy, we said a lot today. And you, most of you guys know that are used to me by now. You know I move quick because it's just so much. You know what I'm saying? It's just so much to say. We only have this one day a week that I can make available because of my workload. And we, you know, just have this short time. So I try to pack in as much as I can because, I really want you to get it. You know, I want you to get it. It's my assignment. This is my reasonable service. I was telling, put on my page, this is what I do. This is one of my assignments in the kingdom is to teach, amen, to empower. So that cedar door, when you're building relationships, marriage, church, what have you, build a cedar door. Build a strong door, impenetrable, okay, something that the enemy cannot breach. So, listen, I pray that we've said something today that blessed you. We had a wonderful time. I told you that this word was going to bless you. It was going to empower you. I told you that you weren't going to look at it, that door's the same. And that's why on the topic, I couldn't even add a whole lot to it because I said, God, there's so much. I don't even want to get distracted trying to figure out a name for it. So we just call it doors and just let the Lord have his way. I still have notes I haven't even touched, praise God, because it was just so much. But I feel like I said what the Lord wanted me to say. Amen. I felt him leading me into some other areas to deal with, and that's what that's why in the beginning of my prayers, I always say, God, take me off of my notes. Okay, those of us who are in ministry, we are preachers, amen. You study and you show yourself approved, and you write your notes and your scriptures and your little commentary and stuff to the side, but you don't ever get stuck to that. Because even in the midst of it, I can't tell you how many, that's why I have so many books, because I have sermons. I hadn't even finished preaching, praise God. Because in the middle of your message, the Holy Spirit will begin to pull, on into areas that the people are dealing with. That's what the rhema is, okay? And especially for prophets, that's why as a prophet, I love to preach, because I never preach on topic. I preach about five sermons and one message. Because you're going in the realm of the Spirit, and you're going into people's homes. And I mean the blood. Fresh flesh and blood home. You're going into their house and you're dealing with some things there. You know, you're bringing answers to prayers, you're bringing confirmation, you're bringing revelation, you're lighting up some areas that's dark. God, I mean, the Lord, just he'll use you all over the place, you know. That's why people love prophetic preaching. So I pray that we've said something to bless you and to encourage you, that you'll never look at doors again, never look at some of these people in your life again, even some of the hard doors, you know what I'm saying? Some of these solid doors that you got. You may have to sit there for a minute until God deals with that. All right? So I pray that this message has blessed you. Father, I give you glory. I have enjoyed this teaching, Lord God. I just thank you for what you have highlighted to us. God, I thank you for your love for us, Lord God, that you will not have us ignorant, but you will show us where the enemy's seat is. Lord God, you will empower us. You will equip us, Lord God. You will instruct us, and you will teach us the ways of salvation. You will teach us the ways of deliverance and even the ways of prosperity, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we lift your name up, God. I bless you for every heart on the line today, God. I pray that this word is so richly encourage them. God, even for the prophetic was released I pray, Lord God, that it reaches them right where they are. And God, I anoint the rest of their day with the spirit of gladness, Lord God. I anoint their week, God, with prosperity, Father. Lord God, let your will be done in their life, Lord God, like never before. God, show forth your glory in their life by any means necessary. Make their enemies their footstool, God. And God, raise them up to be the greatest, Lord God, that you have called them to be. We give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And